we're really awaiting, because I know for sure that our students and alumni are going to be definitely get a spiritual uplifting from hearing you, as I always feel that I hear you.
Thank you, Rabbi Shurin. Thank you for the very kind words, and thank you for all your, on a personal level, for all your support, advice, and general just being there as a sage voice of counsel for me over the years. I really appreciate it, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to see you guys a little bit. Maybe a couple of just technical things. First of all, I think most people have muted themselves, which is good, so please make sure that you mute yourself. Unless you want to say something, please, I'm very happy for you to say something or ask a question on the chat. Another technical thing that I see, that there are, Baruch Hashem, 33 people on the Zoom, but only one person has the camera on. Now, obviously if you're sitting in your pajamas, then I don't wish to make you feel uncomfortable. Although if you're in America and you've got your pajamas on, then there's something going wrong at the moment. But if you can be somehow a face, that's always easier for a teacher on Zoom to be able to teach. Real people is always better than to be able to teach names or stylish profile shots. Good, so that's just, but whatever makes you comfortable, I'm completely happy if you're happy. The last thing is, if for whatever reason I freeze or disappear, please don't panic, I will return, Be'ezrat Hashem. Every now and then my computer and my camera just decide not to talk to each other anymore. I hope they're going to make Shalom by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but so far this year it's been difficult. So every now and then, but I will return, because I have a little system that I use. Okay, fine. Someone just apologized, they don't have a camera. It's really fine, you don't have to turn your camera on, but it's always nice to see people and I can remember who you all are. Okay, fine. So I don't have any magic solutions, and I don't have any one-size-fits-all solutions to these issues. Obviously not, no rabbis do. But I want to maybe give you some perspectives that sometimes people don't always think about. The first thing I want to mention, I've called the shiur here, Avan Yira, Tools for Tishrei Without Shulam Community. People often forget when they're giving shiurim in Elul that the Chagim of Tishrei is not just Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's also Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. And it's important for us not to eclipse those. So when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to look begadol a little bit at the Chagim of Tishrei, that's one thing. The other thing I would mention is that for many people this year, they will be on their own, less with community, but some people are often forced to spend some of these Chagim on their own. And it's very difficult for them. And I'm not saying it's the same issue, it's different, but there are people with young children who have to spend Yom Kippur, really just, you know, changing diapers and being with young children, and that's a challenge. Not everybody has that challenge, but it's also a challenge, and therefore finding ways generally in life to connect with the Chagim in a way which is both sometimes communal and sometimes individual, I think is a very valuable experience. This year, obviously, much more so, because a lot of us are forced into smaller communities, meaning, you know, I'm in Israel, in Alon Shvut here, and I haven't been to shul since Purim. The last time I was in shul was for Megillat Esther. So we have a minyan, Baruch Hashem, we have 3 minyanim a day outside in the road, but it's like 14 or 15 of us all standing about 20 feet from each other. It's going to be a little bit difficult, even if we're going to have a minyan, it's going to be a little bit difficult doing that. Actually, the minyan for Rosh Hashanah is in the park next to my house, so I can even sit in solitary confinement on my balcony and look down at the minyan. I could even be, you know, in my grandchildren's paddling pool all through Rosh Hashanah morning if I wanted to be. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. That's fine. But I'm just saying that, you know, I could. But it's just a little bit distant and it's difficult. Now, I actually think, and what I want to suggest to you tonight is, I think Sukkot is going to be much harder for people than Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in many ways. Now, I actually think, even though people always talk about, you know, women having certain, you know, issues with community and men others, I think the men are going to have a hard time this Tishrei. Because I think for many women, Sukkot already is a bit strange. And, you know, watching men dance on Simchat Torah has its limitations. And exactly how you work out Simchat Torah can sometimes be a bit challenging. But I think a lot of people, men especially, are going to find themselves bereft of all the communal things that go on Sukkot and the Hakafas and everything. So I think for everybody, everyone's going to need a lot of chizuk as to how to deal with this. And therefore, what I'm going to share with you tonight applies hopefully to all of us, but it applies beyond this to our communities, to the men, to the women, etc. So I really want to suggest two things tonight with you. I've got a little source sheet that I'm going to share with you. I want to talk about two things. First of all, the dichotomy between individual and community as you look through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, number one. And number two, the dichotomy between Simcha and Yira that goes through all of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and how actually that's one of the main avodas of Tishrei, and that is itself a very personal avoda. So what I want to suggest to you is that most of the avoda of Tishrei is actually very individual, it's actually very personal, and therefore maybe having a little bit of time on our own this year might actually be an opportunity to tap into that. Let's share a few sources to get us on the road, and then we'll see how we get on. Can you see my shared screen there? Hopefully you can see that. Yeah? Excellent, good. So for those of you who missed my source sheets, there you are. You see a little bit of a blast from the past. You can see a source sheet there. I'm sure you get plenty anyway, wherever you are. But let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the Zohar, which is an interesting take on the idea of two psukim that come up a lot in the Yomim L'Rayim. We'll see these psukim right now. And the Zohar puts them together. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, the Haksib says, Rabbi Yehuda says the following, isn't it written, V'ani tfilati lecha Hashem eitz rotzon? And as for me, says David HaMelech, my tfilah, my prayer is for you at an eitz rotzon, at a special time. David focuses on himself, and I want to connect with you at this time, says the Zohar, zimnin de'ihu eitz rotzon. You see from here that sometimes are auspicious times. The zimnin d'alavi writes Eis Ratzon, and sometimes are less auspicious times. Zimnin d'shama, sometimes our prayers are more easily heard. The zimnin d'lai shama, and sometimes it's harder to get through. Zimnin d'ishtachach, sometimes you can find God. There are moments where you connect with God. The zimnin d'lai shtachach, and sometimes you just can't. Dichsev, and the Zohar brings the other pasuk. Dirshu Hashem behimatzah karu'uhu biyosikarov. The pasuk from Yeshaya. So, this last pasuk, search out, we're going to look at that in more detail, search out Hashem, where Hashem can be found. Okay, cry out when he's close. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always close. He's imminent and transcendent. There's no difference at any, but sometimes we feel it different. That's the point. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva in the second chapter, that to get ourselves in the mood for tshuva, there are things we have to do to get ourselves in the mood. You can't just switch into tshuva mode. And he says the 10 days of tshuva, which are Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, are kind of mood setters. They help us to get into this, to the spirit of wanting to be close. And therefore, David HaMelech in V'ani Tfilati, it's a very personal thing. V'ani, it's not an after, it's ani. And the Zohar connects us with this idea of what do you have to do, what do we have to do as individuals? Search out Hashem. And I want to show you three very well-known mnemonics to remember to talk about at Elul. Everyone talks, of course, about Ani Ledodi V'Dodi Li, but actually the Matzah Ephraim brings three. He brings three, one Keneged Tshuva, one for Tshuva, one for Tzvila, and one for Tzaka. The three biggies, Tzvila, Tshuva, Tzvila, and Tzaka. So one of them he brings is Umal Hashem Elokecha Et Levavcha Ve'et Levavsarecha. Okay, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. That is the remez to tshuva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away the blockage from our hearts. And again, that's very personal. Et levavcha, it's not levavchem, it's levavcha. Et levav zarecha, okay, li avat Hashem Elokecha. Ani ledodi v'dodi li. Again, it's very personal. It's not anachnu l'Hashem v'Hashem. No, it's ani ledodi v'dodi li. Very personal. That's the Elul of Tfilah. And the other remez he brings is ish l're'ehu umatanas le'evyonim. From Purim, the idea of sending gifts, and we'll see this comes from Rosh Hashanah as well, Elul is Zeta Elul with Tzedakah. But again, it's you, it's very personal, it's you reaching out, making connection with other people, but all of these are focused in the singular, they're all focused on personal, and therefore I think that the very much the message of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a personal, individual message of closeness to Hashem. Don't forget that back in the days of the Mikdash, Rosh Hashanah was not Aliyah Regel. Sukkot was Aliyah Regel. Most people were not in Yerushalayim by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur already, a lot of people had arrived before Sukkot. But Rosh Hashanah, for many people, was on the road, was on the way. And they weren't in big, big communities. By Sukkot, that's when the big community time began. So the first thing is just maybe these ideas of Elul being personal ideas and not only community ideas. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Dirshu Hashem. Number two, says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Dir Hashem mehimatzah, ele aseres yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Very quiet. Our famous idea that these 10 days are days of Dirshu, of Drisha. Where is the Pasuk of Drisha from? From Rivka. These wrote it to Abanim Bekiba, that the twins, the babies, she thought it was one originally, but then the twins were going crazy inside of a tummy. In Kein Lama Ze Anoichi. That's the existential question of Elul. Lama Ze Anoichi. What am I here for? What am I doing here? What is the whole purpose of any of this? V'teilech lidrosh et Hashem. Rivka, on her own, goes to seek out God, to get answers as an individual. This is Dirshu Hashem Himatzah. This is where the idea connects with as well. Two beautiful midrashim, again, very personal in nature, about the idea of tefillah and tshuva. Number four, where the Dvarim Rabba. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Shala Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. Mao dechsiv, why, back to this pasuk, what does it mean, va'ani tefillasi, l'cha Hashem Esrasam? What does it mean, my prayer is to God? Amalei, he answered him, shari tefillah pamim psuchim pamim nolim. With tefillah, sometimes you can get through, sometimes you don't. About shari tshuva la'olim psuchim. But the shari tshuva, the ability to do tshuva, and tshuva is something you have to do on your own. Tshuva is not something you can do in a crowd. More of this in a minute. But tshuva is a very personal, honest thing. The shari tshuva are always open. That's what it means, that there's an ace ratzon, and that's what tshuva lets you. This is one of my favorite midrashim of all these ideas all joined together. Look at this Eicha Rabba. I need to see the Chas Hashem Yisrael. Always going on these, this same pasuk. Nimshala Tfila Lemerchatz. Tfila is like a bathhouse. Ma Merchatz Hazeh. Pa'amin Petucha. Pa'amin Nola. It's like a swimming pool. Sometimes it's open. Sometimes it flows. Sometimes you can get in. Sometimes you can't get in. Kachem Shari Tfila. That's the same with Tfila. Pa'amin Petucha. Pa'amin Nola. Sometimes you make it. Sometimes you don't. Tefillah is hit and miss. You have a good mincha, you have a bad mincha. Most people have more bad ones than good ones. Okay, fine. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Aval tshuva nimshala layam. Oh, it's interesting. Tshuva is like going to the sea. It's not like going to the pool. It's like going to the sea. Ma yam azel la'olim pasuach. The sea never closes. You can always get to the sea. Kach shari tshuva la'olim pasuachim. Tshuva is always open. There are no opening hours. And what's more, Mar Merchatz Adam Holek LeMerchatz Lirchatz V'Hu Moisi Sham Aviv Rabbi, in the pool, in the bathhouse, the house, you bump into Chaim, you bump into Yankel, you know, you bump into your friends, in the changing room, Midvayesh V'Holek Lait, it's awkward, it's a bit difficult. People like social distancing in the pool, right? In the changing room, certainly. So the pool's a bit awkward sometimes. That still is a little bit awkward, I can't, you know, be who I need to be. Kachem Shari Tzvila. Tzvila is also a bit awkward. Interesting, Chazal is saying, Tzvila is a very difficult thing. It's a bit awkward. Aval Hayam, but the sea, like Tshuva, and of course the sea is a mikveh. The swimming pool is not a mikveh, but the sea is a mikveh. Hayam, Moitzi Rabbi Aviv, if you see somebody that you know when you're down on the beach, fine. Marachachas Mokima, go down the beach a little bit. The beach is a big beach. You go down a little bit, find a quiet spot. Baroiches v'makamacher. You can find your personal space. You see social distancing in the midrash. You see it right here. The pool is awkward. Everyone's on top of each other. It's very hard to connect when everybody's tafuf, everybody's kid. But the sea is great because I can find my little spot on the beach, do my thing, and the sea, as I said, is a mikveh itself, the moshel of the sea. You can achieve in the sea things that you can never achieve in the pool. Look at number six, famous Mishnah in Yoma Amar Rabbi Kiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, if nei mi atam mitarim, before you, whom are you becoming pure, mi mitahereskan, who is the one who is able to be mitahere, to purify the Jewish people, avi hashem shamayim, and they bring the play in words, zarakti alechim, maim tahorim tahartim, ome mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the mikveh Yisrael. Mikveh, of course, means the mikveh, and also the hope. Hatikva. Okay, Mikveh Yisrael also, just as an aside, Mikveh Yisrael I think was one of the first Yishuvim ever established in Eretz Yisrael. It was an agricultural school called Mikveh Yisrael, and even before the Yishuvim, the famous ones. Ma Mikveh Matares HaTameim, Apakodesh Baruch Hu Matares Yisrael. So you see, all of these ideas come together to say that the key of this time of year is not really just tefillah. I know we're very excited about going to shul. we're very excited about the set piece affairs and Kol Nidre night and Musaf and but you know something, shul is hit and miss. Not everybody likes to sit in for half an hour before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah listening to the Chazan singing Hineni, you know, in his most... it doesn't do it for everybody. Sometimes what people need is a little bit of a trip to the sea of tshuva. And you need to be alone, you need to be quiet, you need to be away. And in a sense, maybe we can do that a little bit better, being a little bit more distanced this year in the way that the Midrashim here are telling. So that's just a few thoughts of this balance between tefillah and tshuva, and how tefillah is important, but tshuva is more personal and maybe even more accessible and more purified. Okay, that's kind of thought number one. Thought number two, which is about this getting this balance right between simcha and yira, again, I want to suggest that this is something you can only do when you're really alone, when you're thinking alone, and I'll bring you some proofs for this. Have a look at what he says in Nehemiah. Where is Rosh Hashanah mentioned in Tanakh? Quite a, I mean, some people will be aware of this, but apart from the mention in the Chumash itself of Yom Teruah, which of course is not clear, what does Teruah mean? Does it mean you blow something? Does it mean you shake? Does it mean you pray? Does it mean you cry out? It can mean all of those things. Look in Nehemiah, the eighth parak of Nehemiah. So the Jewish people have come back to Eretz Israel, and they're in a process of tshuva. They really lost it in Babel. They've married out a lot of the time, and they've lost their connection with Judaism in the traditional way. And Nehemiah and Ezra are trying to get them back into the mood again. But Yavi Ezra Akayin Es HaTaru Lipnei Akal Me'ishva Adisha. He gathers together all the people, the men, the women, V'chol Meivin Lishmoa B'Yom Echad V'Chodesh V'Tishvi. Anyone who can understand on Yom Echad V'Chodesh V'i. Wow. The first day of the seventh month. This is Rosh Hashanah in Sefer Nehemiah. This was the famous Rosh Hashanah in Nehemiah. But Yom Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, Hu ati Tirshata, he's the governor there. The Ezra Kohen, the double act, Nehemiah and Ezra together, a sofer, the scribe, the Halavim, Hamivinim, Esa'am, the Cholaam, they said to the people the following. This is Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Kadosh Hu Lashem. Today is a special day, Lashem Elokeichem. Al Tit Ablu, why are you so sad? Al Tifku, why are you crying? Ki bochim kol ha'am kishmam et divrei ha'Torah. The people were crying when they heard the Torah. And Ezra and Nehemiah said, hang on, that wasn't the idea. The idea wasn't to make you sad. Rosh Hashanah is not a sad day. It's not a day of an avelus. Okay? V'yom elahem l'chu echlu mashmanim. Go home and eat something nice. Enjoy your food. Connect with God through the food like a Shabbos and Chag. Shdu mamtakim, drink some nice wine. Shilchu manos, send gifts. Reach out to people, send gifts to other people. This is not Purim. This is not Mishloach Manos on Purim. This is Mishloach Manos on Rosh Hashanah. Shilchu manos le'ein nachalah, for people who don't have what to eat on Rosh Hashanah. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu, this is a special day for Hashem. Al ta'asfu, certainly don't be sad. Ki chedvat Hashem u'uschem. Now this word chedva is very interesting. The strength of today is chedva. What's chedva? Chedva is, you know, they say that you can tell a culture by how many words they have for certain things. Like the English have 1,000 words for rain. Okay? There's rain and there's drizzle and they can tell you about rain all day long. The Jews have a lot of words for simcha. There's simcha and there's sason and there's chedva and there's rila and there's gila and there's ditza and there's chedva. There's all of these different words for simcha. They all mean slightly different things. Chedva is that sort of, it's that frisson, that excitement, that being on the edge of something very, a bit scary, but on the other hand, very exciting. That's meant to be Rosh Hashanah. It's an atmosphere of Yira. It's the Yomim Noraim, okay? But Noraim doesn't mean like in the modern Israeli sense of awful. It's the awful days. It's the awesome days, but there's a certain element of excitement, of simcha there as well. Rambam says the reason we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah is because it's Yom Noraim, it's not a day for Hallel. On the other hand, the Torah comes in and says, Adam Shigesh Lo Din, and normally a person who has a Din Torah, or a judgment for a king, not Din Torah, a judgment for a king, Lovesh Shchayrim, they very humble, they dress in black, Ma'atif Shchayrim, they put black on their head, Magadah Zekanoi, they don't shave, it's like a veil. They don't cut their nails. Aval Yisrael, Ein and Cain, the Jewish people are not the same. Lo Shem Levanim, they wear white, we're going to Rosh Hashanah excited. I just got a little thing saying my internet was unstable. You can still hear me? Yes. Yes, thank you, Lee, for saying you can still hear me. Umaatim Levanim, and they wear white. Umagalchim's kind of a new shave. Really, we get excited for Rosh Hashanah. Machatkin's the name. The Oichlim, the Shaitim, the Smechim, Rosh Hashanah, the Fisha Yodin, Shakosh Rochu Yatel Hamnes. So, Rosh Hashanah has this well-known, double aspect of, on the one hand, being a day of Yira, and on the other hand, being a day of Simcha. It's the day of Simcha Sachag, and it's a day of eating and drinking, etc. And balancing those two feelings is very difficult. People are uniquely able, by the way, to feel two things at the same time. It's very interesting. It makes you feel like a human being. I once went, you share an anecdote, I just thought of this now. I once went to a bris mila, to a bris by a guy who was sitting shiva. Nebuch, he lost, I think, a sibling, and he made a bris while he was sitting shiva in the shiva house. And I went to him after, and I was at the bris, and I was at the shiva, it was the same place. So I said to him, how do you feel? So he said, I feel very happy and I feel very sad, both at the same time. He said, and that's a very human thing. You can feel very happy and you can feel very scared. You can feel all of those things at the same time. And he said to me, I remember this, he said, there's a midrash about the malachim who wanted to sing Shira, who wanted to praise Hashem when the Egyptians were drowning. And God says, how can you sing praise when the Egyptians are drowning in the sea? They're also people. So very nice. But what about the Jewish people? They could sing Shira. How come they were allowed to sing Shira? Because people are different to Malachim. People can feel conflicting emotions at the same time. They can feel happy and they can feel sad. They can feel excited and they can feel trepidation. They can feel all these things together. And in a sense, it's that feeling of different things that makes you feel most alive. Now, Rosh Hashanah, as I said to you before, I think it's a lot of focus on being on your own. Look at this number 11. The Arba Prakim Ha'olam Nidan, says the Mishnah, on four times a year the world is judged. But Rosh Hashanah, Kol Be'olam Oivrim Lifanav Kibnei Maron. On Rosh Hashanah, all the world passed before Hashem like the Bnei Maron. So what is Bnei Maron? The Gemara says, Maika Bnei Maron, what does it mean? So it gives a number of different expressions. One of them is that we're all on our own. And the other is that we're all with our community. Very opposite expressions, opposite ideas. Maika Bnei Maron, so the Gemara says here, Achatagimu, here's how they translate it. Kibnei Amarna, like sheep, like on our own, Rashi says, Kikvasim, Shimunim, Otam La'asra. When you take Maser Behemah, you count the sheep through, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and the 10th is the Maser, everyone has to come on its own. For Yotim, Ze Achat Ze, Bepetach Katan, we can't hide. We're on our own, the spotlight is on us. She'eni Chalin Latseit Ke'echad. Okay, they can't all come through together. They have to come through one by one. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, which is the name of Shmuel, no, kechayalot shel b'nei David. That's what it means, kebnei maron. We're like an army. So which is it? Are we an army or are we on our own? An army is the opposite. It's not individuals. It's all one unit. Individuals is the opposite of an army. So what I want to suggest to you is actually that these two ideas are most expressed in the shofar. Look at these two Rambams together. How many times do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So there are two very distinct sets of shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah. There's the blowing the shofar before Musaf, which is the first 30 blasts that we blow. And then there's the shofar blast that we blow during the brachas, during the Amidah. So look at the difference in the wording of the Rambam between these two things. So says the Rambam here, number 17. Kama tekiyas chayav Adam lishmoa b'yomtov, shel Rosh Hashanah. How many tekiyas does a person have to hear on Rosh Hashanah? More about women in a minute. Tesha tekiyas, he says 9, which basically turn out to be the 30 tekiyah, truah, tekiyah, tekiyah, truah, tekiyah, tekiyah, truah, tekiyah, and once you make the truah into a shvarim truah, you end up with 30 blasts. That's the basic minimum for an individual, because an individual has to hear the shofar blast at the beginning. That's an individual focus. But then he says, look at his wording, number 18, Hatzibur chayivim lishmoa tekiyas al tzeda habrochas. He's very medayek. Hatzibur, the tzibur, the community has to hear the later shofar blast. And I want to suggest to you, I didn't share the screen, sorry, I beg your pardon. Actually, here, I'll share the screen here. Number 17, he says here that the Adam is required to hear the first, an individual is required to hear the first Sheva Blad, but for the second, has Sibur Chayavim Lishmar, to hear that say that wrong. And therefore, Shofar expresses itself this idea that there are some aspects of Rosh Hashanah which are very individual. My individual obligation is to hear these 30 blasts and to think about them. And some of them is very much the shofar blast of the community, that together we're like the army of David HaMelech. And we're, okay, so this year maybe we only have the individuals. But that's key to the shofar. It's quite famous, Rambam number 16, Afal Pisha Tekir Shofar Barosh Hashanah Gizeh HaKosov. Even though shofar is a mitzvah, we don't really know the reason for shofar, like any other mitzvah. Remez Yeshva, there is a remez, kloma, as if to say, Uru Yesheni Mishinaskem. Wake up. Wake up. Now, you know, we don't wake up as a group. We wake up as individuals. Mishinaskem, Venirdamim, Hakiti, Kitsu, those who are sleeping, are slumbering, wake up. Kitsu, Mitar, Benechem, Vechitsu, Maasechem, let's look at our lives, Vechazru, Betshuva, go back in Tshuva, Vezachru, Barechem. So I think shofar is a very personal mitzvah in many ways, and actually it's interesting. Women, even though they weren't part of the community, made an enormous effort over the years to hear shofar. Shofar, of course, is a mitzvah asher sheyach man grama. It's a mitzvah that women are completely exempted from. They have no obligation in the Torah or on a rabbinic level to hear shofar at all. And yet women have gone to extraordinary lengths to hear shofar, to connect to shofar as an individual. This year in Israel, they're saying that everybody has to go out at 11 o'clock in the morning on second day Rosh Hashanah, because first day Shabbat. On second day, everyone has to blow shofar who knows how to blow shofar. So they're saying that people have to listen. Everyone who blows should have in mind to be motzi, everybody who's listening, and everybody who's listening should have in mind to be yotzei, everybody from everyone who's blowing. So there's going to be one cacophonous shofar blowing. Hopefully we'll be able to hear something and not just a load of noise. I hope the people who blow will be people who know what they're doing. But nevertheless, this year a lot of people will be listening to that individual sound of the shofar rather than to the communal sound of the shofar. And as I say, it's a slightly different sound. Someone's put a this is my concern, I might be alone in 115 degree heat. Oi, with two toddlers, which only increase the heat, okay? And didn't know if you find shofar blowing. Well, if you're in Israel, then hopefully you'll hear the shofar in the street, and hopefully they'll be able to be motzi you as well. But as I said, you don't, strictly speaking, have an obligation to hear the shofar, but women have taken it upon themselves and almost have an obligation to hear the shofar this year. You can even blow for yourself. I mean, that's a good interesting question. Can a woman blow for herself? She has to hear from a man. I'm not getting into that now. It's a halacha shir, which is not for now. But of course, the minhag of Ashkenazi women is to make a bracha on the shofar as well. That's for halacha shir and not for now. Now, I want to say a few words about sukkahs, because also this idea of community and individuals on sukkahs is very important. Let's just look at a couple of sources here. Look at number 14 and 15 with me. The 13, 14, and 15. And we'll kind of finish with this idea. Maybe we'll just mention one thing at the end, because I want to try and finish at 45. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the following, that this dichotomy of Simcha and Yira, which we're trying to kind of grapple with and work out, what's my avoda, what am I trying to do? He says, Afal Pisha Etzal Basa V'Adam HaYira V'HaSimcha Haim Dama V'HaFchoi. Even though normally speaking in life, Simcha and awe are fear and Simcha are two opposites for most people. If someone is scared of someone else, they don't have a sense of love for them. It's not true with Hashem. Other on the contrary, when a person is mitbonen, begadlusa the yare mipanav yismach v'yagabah oitzegira. It's hitbonenus. Hitbonenus is contemplation. That's really the avoda of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's contemplation. It's thought. It's understanding, and therefore, on a practical level, I would say to people, they're going to have time, many people on Rosh Hashanah, prepare yourself some good reading material. Maybe read through the whole of Hilchos Teshuva. You can read it from beginning to end, print it up from online. You can find it in English, you can find it in Hebrew. It's not hard to find anything. And learn it through. People have a minhag that they learn one chapter of Hilchos Teshuva every day from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So this year, you can learn the whole thing on Rosh Hashanah, probably. A lot of people have time on their hands. They won't be in Minyanim. They're planning down from us It's very hot here in Israel at the moment. You may have worked it out. Yesterday, on Friday, in Jerusalem, was 42.8 degrees, which is a record. If you don't know what that means, it means it was very hot. Okay? It's like 110, something like that, whatever. So the minion they're planning for me, they say they don't. We'll be finished by 9:15 in the morning. We'll be done. What am I going to do all day on Rosh Hashanah? You know? I'm used to sitting in shul. I remember when I was a kid in England, you didn't get home till 2:30 in the afternoon. But now this year I'm going to be all done having breakfast at 9:30 in the morning. So what are we going to do? Well, there's going to be time to read. So make sure you prepare yourself lots of stuff to read, download it, and have it printed out or whatever so that people can do that. And on Sukkot, I just want to mention this at the end here, I think that Sukkot is going to be more challenging actually. I think that it's going to be harder because a lot of the things that we do on Sukkot, the Simchas Beis HaShoever and the parties, they're just not going to happen. They're not going to happen in the same way. It's hard to imagine Sukkot without the Simchas Beis. So I think that one of the things we'll have to do on Sukkot, and for all of us, men and women, is to focus on the specific individual mitzvot of Sukkot, which is Yeshiva B'Sukkah and Netilat Lulav. And I think for a lot of women, these are two mitzvahs that they don't always necessarily connect to so much. And that's a shame. That's a lost opportunity. I want to just finish with this Rabbi Kiva Eger. Look at number 15. Rabbi Kiva says, V'kol makam roiv nashei didam. Most of the women, he's living in Central Europe in the late 1700s, early 1800s, most of the women where we live, machmirim la'atzman, are very strict on themselves. V'zehirois, v'zerizois, they're very careful, they're very keen. L'kayim roiv mitzvahs atish esman groma. They go out of their way, these women, to make sure that they can keep all these mitzvahs to go in shofar, sukkah, lulav. Meaning, our women don't just sit in the house while the men are sitting in the sukkah, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. The women where we are, they're makpid, they want to keep the mitzvahs. And as I said, Ashkenazi women make a bracha, shaykh, shana, mitzvah, savat, sivanu. So maybe when this is a year that we don't necessarily have all of the community noise and excitement, so maybe this is the year to buy yourself a lulav and esrog, if you don't normally have one, and to bond a little bit with your lulav and esrog. I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying that you can do. Maybe this is the year to do that, to focus on the private mitzvahs. Maybe you won't make it to shul. Maybe you'll be sitting in a little sukkah, but you can be mekayim a mitzvah in the sukkah, mekayim a mitzvah lulav and esrog. Are you going to say, well, it's not a mitzvah for women? Lo nachon. It is a mitzvah for women. It's just not an obligation for women. The Mishnah Berurah paskens that all of these positive time-bound mitzvahs are a mitzvah kiyumit, that you actually did a Torah mitzvah, and that's one of the reasons why you can say, Asher kidushanu mitzvah tzavet tzivanu leishet besukkah. So if you're sorry, okay, fine, don't take that as a psak, go and ask your rabbi, but there are Sephardi women who do make the brachas as well, by the way, but that's not for now. But maybe this is the year when we can't have a more communal, you know, excitement of sukkahs and hakafas and simchas Torah, etc. So maybe this is the year to focus a little bit on the private mitzvahs, on the lulav, on the esrog, learn about them, think about them, read up what they are, what they symbolize, what they mean, etc. There's a lot of beautiful ideas. So let's finish with that. So just to summarize, I think a lot of the preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is very personal, but aniti filati. Okay, this idea of searching and seeking and contemplating. Even the Ahava Yira dichotomy is very internal, it's very individual. And the shofar itself is both an individual and a communal mitzvah. And in Yetz Hashem, we'll have the opportunity this year to bond with all the private mitzvahs and a little bit of public if we can. And if not this year, then next year we'll dance double at the Simchas Beis HaShoever, please God, when we've all moved into back to some level of normality. So I'll leave it with that. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask on the chat, or you can send me a WhatsApp. I'm quite good with WhatsApp, by the way, so you're welcome to catch up with me on WhatsApp. Leave me a voice message and I'll send you a message back. But thank you again, Rabbi Shurim, for the opportunity to talk to our wonderful alumni, and I wish you all a ksiva chasima tova. You should have a good Geben Shara, a year of simcha, of brocha, of health, of good things, of paranosa. And we should get an opportunity to meet up in the future, Be'ezrat Hashem.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Manning.
Thank you, Rabbi Manning.
Pleasure, pleasure.
All the best. Thank you.
Pleasure, pleasure.
Thank you so much.